auditors, auditors of reality. They were in conversation without speaking. They didn't need to. They just changed reality so that they had spoken.
One said, "It has never happened before. Can it be done?"
One said, "It will have to be done. There is a personality."
One said, "Sometimes he wonders about his job. Such speculation is dangerous. We don't want it to spread."
One said, "Yes, very true." One said, "Then we are agreed."
They looked up at the face of Azrael, outlined against the sky. In fact, it was the sky. Azrael nodded slowly.
One said, "Very well. Where is this place?" One said, "It is the Disc World. It rides through space on the back of a giant turtle."
One said, "And now, let us go."
With eyes that stars could be lost in, Azrael watched them skim away. It's hard to fathom the thoughts of a creature so big that, in real space, his length would be measured only in terms of the speed of light. But in his prison of a billion years, Azrael was bored. And this is the room where the future pours into the past via the pinch of the now. Timers line the walls, not hourglasses, although they have the same shape, and it's not sand in there. It's seconds, endlessly turning the maybe into the was. And every life timer has a name on it, and the room is full of the soft hissing of people living. And now, with the sharp clicking of bone on stone, a dark shape moves up the endless shelves. Here's a glass with the top bulb nearly empty. Bone fingers reach out, select, and another, select. The dark shape moves patiently along the rows and stops. Because here's a small gold timer, and it wasn't there yesterday, or wouldn't have been if yesterday's existed here. Bony fingers close around it and hold it up to the light. It's got a name on it, and the name is Death. Death put down the timer. There was a movement in the air behind him. Death turned and addressed the figure that wavered indistinctly in the gloom. It looked vaguely like a grey-robed and hooded monk.
"Why?"
it told him.
"I shall appeal."
It told him there was no appeal.
"I have always done my duty as I saw fit."
It told him, "We know. That's why we're letting you keep the horse." Wendell Poons, oldest wizard in the entire faculty of Unseen University, was also going to die. He knew it. Of course, he mused as he wheeled his wheelchair over the flagstones towards his study. In a general sort of way, everyone knew they were going to die, even the common people. But wizards really knew. And no one had said anything. He'd mentioned it in the uncommon room, and no one had taken the hint. And at lunch, they'd hardly spoken to him. It was like not having your birthday remembered, only worse. He was going to die all alone, and no one cared. He bumped the door open with the wheel of the chair and fumbled on the table for the tinderbox. Hardly anyone used tinderboxes these days. They bought the big, smelly, yellow matches the alchemists made. Wendell disapproved. Where was that damn tinderbox? Fingers. You used to get proper fingers in the old days. Someone pulled the covers off a lantern. Someone else pushed a drink into his hand.
Surprise!
Death stalked into the sombre gloom of his study. Albert, his servant, was waiting with the towel.
"Good morning, master."
Death sat down silently in his big chair.
"Have a nice day."
Albert draped the towel over the angular shoulders and pulled back Death's cowl.
"Albert,"